And if you could please observe.
Oh, y si pueden observar, por favor.
And turn off your cell phone. Thank you.
De silenciar el teléfono. Gracias.
So your sermon text is on the back of your bulletin, and now it's on the screen in front of you. If you want to, and are able, let's stand as we read Psalm 42, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 42, verses 1 through 5. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While men say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. You may be seated. Paul Wilson Brand was born in 1914 and died in 2003. He was a pioneer in the research and treatment of those with leprosy. He was the first physician to appreciate, to understand, that leprosy is not a disease of the tissue, but of the nerves. It is the loss of the sensation of pain which makes sufferers susceptible to injury and leads to tissue rotting away, especially in the extremities. After careful observation and research, he came to understand that most injuries in leprosy patients were a result of the pain insensitivity that they experienced, and not directly caused by Hansen's disease itself. Hansen's disease is another name for leprosy. In his writings, Dr. Brand says, sorry, Elsa, I'm a little off my notes here. So this doctor studied leprosy. He realized that most of the injuries that people with leprosy suffered was not due to the leprosy itself, but the fact that they could not feel pain. So, for instance, if they were near an open fire, they wouldn't feel it. They could burn their hand, and they wouldn't feel it. Dr. Brand was among the first. He was the first to realize this. And, of course, in his writings, now back to my notes, Elsa, Dr. Brand says, listen close, this is a powerful quote. If I held in my hands the power to eliminate physical pain from the world, I would not do it. My work with pain-deprived patients has proved to me that pain protects us from destroying ourselves. You understand? Now, Dr. Brand was speaking of physical pain. We need pain in some degree to protect us and to help us know when something is wrong with us physically. The same is true spiritually. If you hold a totally secular or atheistic worldview, then pain has no meaning. It's just a series of chemical and physical reactions from which we seek temporary relief. But if you hold a solid biblical worldview, then pain has meaning. A biblical worldview explains the presence of pain, and it gives us tools and resources for dealing with pain. Physical pain, relational pain, emotional pain, and yes, even, I would say, especially, spiritual pain. Do you ever just run out of gas? Now, I don't mean in your car. I mean spiritually. You're frustrated, disappointed, hurt, and sometimes just plain tired. I do. When I first started working on this sermon, I wanted to call it The Cure for Spiritual Desolation. But as I studied, I realized the idea of curing this type of spiritual problem this side of eternity is an uncertainty at best. And what I mean by that is, it's not going to happen. The expectation of God fixing everything for us here and now is what I call the soft prosperity gospel. Now, the prosperity gospel, sometimes it's called the word of faith movement, a commonly used phrase is name it and claim it. The prosperity gospel is the teaching that if you have enough faith, if you have enough faith, then God will give you whatever you ask for. It basically teaches that you can use the Holy Spirit to accomplish or receive whatever you want. By the way, it makes the prosperity gospel is really about you, not about God. And you're treating God as a cosmic butler to give you every little thing you want. The Bible teaches the opposite, that God, the Holy Spirit, uses you, us, to accomplish God's will. And the soft prosperity gospel is not wanting wealth and using God. It's just expecting God to keep us from problems. Psalm 42 and 43 teach the opposite. In fact, the entire Bible teaches the opposite. For a Christian, when we face pain, it does not drive us to want things to relieve the pain. I'll explain that in a minute. No, instead, our pain drives us deeper into our faith, deeper into our God. At least it should. So in these two psalms, we hear these sorrows. Okay? I'm going to read a list here. Verses 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants or longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? In these two verses, the psalmist is saying, God, I'm hurting. I need you. Verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And the word for disturbed, the Spanish gets it a little better here, is anguish. Why is my soul in anguish? Why am I messed up inside? Verses 9 through 11. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony. My foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where's your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Psalm 43, verse 1. Vindicate me, O God. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. Ever had something stolen from your home or your car? Ever had a car stolen? One of the most common things people say who have had their home invaded or their privacy or their safety, one of the most common things they will say is, I feel such a sense of being violated. That's what the psalmist is saying. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. People are hurting me, Lord. Help me. Now the second part of verse 2. Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? And verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Why in anguish inside? Now you might say, these are the same complaints a secular person would have. And you would be correct. Pain and suffering is common to all of us. It's part of the human condition. The difference is not that Christians do not experience pain, suffering, and grief. The difference is where the pain, suffering, and grief leads us. And that is deeper into our faith. Deeper into God. And that's what happens in this psalm. I just read several complaints the psalmist writes. Now let's read where those sorrows take the psalmist. Let me pause here. Some people seek relief through drugs, alcohol, materialism, relationships. I just want to find someone to take care of me. Oh my goodness, we search for relief in so many places. But for a believer in God, a follower of Jesus Christ, here are where those sorrows should take us. In verse 42, verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. In this verse, he's saying, I remember times of worship. When I felt God's presence, I remember the joy. I remember the good times. It's easy to trust God when things are good, right? It's also easy to forget God when things are good. Many people think they're doing okay in life. They're getting by. They're getting many of the things they want. Often, prosperity will not lead you closer to God. And if your identity is not deeply rooted in Christ, pain, suffering, and grief will not lead you closer to God. In fact, it may cause you to be bitter toward God. When Christians face the pain, suffering, and grief of life, we need to dig deeper into God, as the psalmist did in verse 5. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. And in verse 11, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 43, verse 4. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O my God. And the end of verse 5. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Now, you might say, boy, some of that's repetitive. Yeah. Yes. Educators, I think, and we have a couple here, so nod your head yes or no if this is true. I have read educators who have written, repetition is the mother of learning. Is that accurate? There's some truth to it? I don't know anyone who learned their multiplication tables by just reading them once and thinking, I got it. I didn't. Math was not a strength for me. Now, repetition, we need it. And as we move deeper into our faith and deeper into God, this is true, I'm telling you. We, top of page 14, Elsa, we can find a peace in the middle of our pain, suffering, and grief. Please listen close. While he was in prison, the Apostle Paul wrote this in his letter to Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. While he was in prison, he wrote this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Again, he wrote that while he was in prison for his faith in Christ. His suffering drew him closer to God, not further away from God. When we start to feel far from God, when we face pain, suffering, and grief, we often pull away from God. John Newton, by the way, John Newton is the man who wrote the song, anyone know? Amazing Grace. And if you know his life, he was a prolific sinner. Ask me about it later. But after John Newton found Christ, one of the things among many that he said, if you're getting nothing going to the throne of grace, I can assure you, you will get nothing from staying away. Do you understand that? I will admit that sometimes in the Christian life, it feels as if God leaves us hanging. We go through a valley, we face pain, suffering, grief, all kinds of problems. And sometimes it lasts for months, years. I don't want to discourage you, but sometimes for the rest of your life. God is not leaving you hanging. For some reason, in his wisdom, he is allowing what is happening and using what is happening to draw you closer to him, if you will let it. When you take a young child to the doctor to get a shot, or they're sick, they're in the hospital, and they have to get an IV, and you're on one side of the bed holding their hand, and the nurse or the doctor's on the other side of the hand, other side of, on the other arm, doing whatever they have to do, and your child is looking at you like, why in the world are you letting them do this to me? Come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. Stop this. See, we can sometimes get mad at God for not fixing stuff because we think we know all the answers now. We think we know what God should do now. And we can't understand the reasons why he allows it. But just as you, as a 30-year-old parent, would understand a 3-year-old child not understanding, God's ways are even more higher than our ways. I know. We think we know, but we don't. So back to page 15, I'll say, yeah, a secular person might say to a Christian, you believe in God and you're still facing the same problems I do. And I would say as lovingly as I could, I hear you, but can't you see that you're facing the same problems that I am, but without God? You're alone. And what meaning is there in that? Now, what I'm about to share with you, some of you have heard, and I am not comparing this. So I'm not saying that this is as difficult as some of what you're facing. But we started Northwest Church in 1991. The first couple of years we met in the living room of a house we rented near Harlem and Irving. Then we rented the Union Hall at Austin and Wellington. The church grew slowly. Many of those who supported us and helped us get started had high expectations. And I was not meeting those expectations. Between the burden for this city, I love this city. And I love these people. I love this neighborhood. I love it. Between the burden for this city, the expectations of supporters, and the expectations I had placed on myself, the load was almost too heavy to bear. We desperately wanted our own church building. Just so you know, when you invite people to worship here, many times people walk in and they will say, "This is really nice." But when you invite them to come worship in your living room, they're thinking, if you get them to come, this ain't a church. This is this dude's living room. What is this, some kind of a cult? Right? It was hard. We desperately wanted our own church building. In 1999, eight Lutheran churches on the northwest side of Chicago went on the market in a sealed bid auction. I met with the mission board that I worked under, and we made offers on two of them. I knew we didn't have a chance on one of them. I knew we were so far away, it wasn't going to happen. But I knew we were close on the other one. We lost that bid by $23,000. And the building was bought by a developer. This all happened over several months. Over half a year at least. The uncertainty and the pressure put me into situational depression. I was a mess. And I would go walk around that building praying. And I would sit on the steps praying. I was around that building so often, I'm surprised the neighbors didn't call the police on me. I'm not kidding. For months, I was there every day. Since we're sitting here today, you know, we didn't get that building. And during that season of my life, Psalm 42 and 43 was where I was at. It was becoming obvious we would not be able to buy that building, and I was devastated. At the time, we used to have Sunday evening services. During a Sunday evening service, the worship leader at that time sang a solo entitled, "I Will Rest in You" by Jackie Velasquez. The words are similar to Psalm 42 and 43 in that they parallel the ideas in these two psalms. So listen to these lyrics. "Lord, I'm in the dark. Seems to me the light is dead when I come calling. No one there. The sky is falling. Lord, I need to know. My mind is playing games again. You're right where you've always been. Take me back to you, to the place that I once knew. As a little child, constantly the eyes of God watched over me. Oh, I want to be in the place that I once knew. As a little child, fall into the bed of faith prepared for me. And when she sang that song, I fell apart. We were in the Painters Union Hall at Austin and Wellington. And I could take you to the place in that room where I was sitting. And when she sang that song, I started bawling like a baby. I mean, I was sobbing. I had begun to place my identity, my worth, in getting that building, in starting this church. But the truth is, I didn't have to have a building. I did have to have Jesus. And I still do. And you do too. Now, some might say, that's just all pie in the sky wishful thinking. Disappointment, pain, betrayal, suffering. These are all common to Christians, but they're common to everyone. Some think, well, if God won't fix everything for me, then I just won't follow him. But if you turn away from God during the bad times, where are you going to go? And what will that accomplish? You'll still have the same problems everybody else does. But a secular person has no hope beyond the here and now. Feel good for as long as you can. That's it. No hope for eternity of joy and peace, and no lasting meaning in life here and now. You can know. You can know the peace that passes human understanding that the apostle wrote about. You can. But the only way to know it is through Jesus. We just learned more about the incarnation during this Christmas season. God the Son becoming man so that he could identify with us. Listen to these verses from the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 4. It's for Christians now, okay? We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. We have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. This verse is telling us that Jesus faced all the pain, suffering, and grief of life that we do. He suffered loss. He faced temptation. He went through trials. And by the way, he faced the greatest betrayal in the history of humanity. This means that he truly understands how difficult it is for us when we face the same things. And the writer of Hebrews says, because of this truth, because we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, meaning resurrected, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. The worship team's going to come up. The letter to the Hebrews was written to Christians who were facing severe persecution. Okay? They were being beaten, chased, thrown in prison because they believed in Jesus Christ. And the writer says, because we have this high priest, he gets us. He understands us. And he overcame this mess. Because we have him, hold firmly to the faith we profess. Because one day we'll overcome too. We will. Here's an understatement, okay? Winter can be difficult in Chicago. And after New Year's, it's a long stretch to spring and summer. Short, cloudy, dreary days. I didn't check the weather forecast when I wrote that. Seasonal affective disorder is real for many people. Whatever you're facing, trials, pain, disappointment, betrayal, winter, instead of allowing it to take you away from Christ, let it draw you deeper into Christ. Sometimes the greater victory, I think most of the time, the greater victory is not when God removes a problem. It's when he walks with us through the problem and we come out stronger on the other side. I believe all of this. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand the truth of your word. Help us to understand that you really are God Almighty, and we owe everything to you. We depend on you. We need you. Help us to be faithful as we follow you. And for those to whom this thinking might be new, maybe they're not following you and they've never really checked out what real Christianity is all about. Help them to seek, to search, and find the truth in your word. Help them to understand we're all going to suffer. The question is, are we going to do it without hope, without Christ? Or as we suffer, will our hope be in Christ? And I pray that they will place their hope in you. Help us to rest in you and find the peace that the world can't understand. It transcends human understanding. Help us to find that peace and trust in you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.